Organizations turn to managed hosting providers to run their SAP systems for them for many reasons: economic pressures, a need for speed or ease of implementation, the lack of SAP skills worldwide. I'm Peter Bochner, site editor for SearchSAP.com, and I'm here today with Bill Martorelli for some insight on how to select an SAP managed hosting provider. Bill is principal analyst with Forrester Research, a major technology and market research company headquartered in Cambridge, Massachusetts. At Forrester, Bill advises sourcing and vendor management professionals on successful outsourcing and service management strategies. During his more than 15 years in technology and business consulting, Bill has written numerous groundbreaking reports on service delivery issues and trends, such as applications outsourcing and business process outsourcing strategies. Bill, I appreciate your making the time to discuss the SAP managed hosting arena today with us. And first things first, Bill, once a company has determined that managed SAP hosting is right for their business, what's the next step?
Well, one of the first steps I would imagine would be to start to look at the marketplace to determine what kind of provider, what kind of model makes sense for the customer. I think it's true that in the market today, there's a good deal of a variety in terms of players that have been established in this marketplace for some years, including some of the larger players out there, IBM, AT&T, ACS, people that have bought in effectively by buying former managed hosting or application service providers that specialized in SAP, as well as a host of new players as well, including a number of different management or managed hosting providers, and even offshore providers are getting into the act.
Bill, I've never written an RFP, but I understand that writing one is always an important step. Can you give us a few key points to an RFP for an SAP managed hosting?
Well, I think one of the keys in any RFP on the one hand, it is an instrument for solicitation of information, notwithstanding the existence of potentially an RFI or request for information. But it's also an instrument that, if it lives up to its billing, would provide the basis and the foundation for a decision, right? A decision on which supplier to go with, or at least a prelude to more in-depth negotiation towards a best and final offer. Now, in that vein, I think it's important to balance a number of things, and I'll try to offer some tips. One would be, don't forget that in an SAP hosting kind of relationship, the software related aspects and the managed services aspects can be combined, right? Can be conjoined, if you will. And I think it's very important to keep that in mind and to make sure that the managed services aspect is sufficiently represented, right? And in an RFP, this might take the form of let's say soliciting or even proposing performance requirements, SLA terms, and things like that that the customer has determined that it requires. In addition, I think that it's important to envision and spend some time in developing a sense of division of responsibilities. Right, be very clear about what responsibilities you intend the service provider to take on, and which responsibilities will remain with the customer. And this is important, I think, because a lot of people, of course, look at things like ABAP. Maintenance and such is very close to their infrastructure operations. I think it's very clear and very important that people really take the time to make sure that they understand, who's going to do what. And I think also with any kind of RFP that has a focal point of a managed service, it's important to lay out problem resolution, incident response. And I'm not talking about just incidents and problems, but also escalation paths for problems that may become a part or may enter into the relationship. So solicit or propose a model by which such issues can be addressed, and make sure that your provider is comfortable with them. And finally, verify qualifications. That's obviously very important. And given the diversity in the marketplace today and a number of new entrants in the SAP hosting space, I think that's obviously very, very important. And if I may add one more thing, I think it's very important to spend time in understanding what your evaluation criteria will be up front so that you can ask questions that will be very, very instrumental in helping you narrow down your choices, as opposed to, asking a host of questions, no pun intended, and winding up then later deciding how you're going to grade them with relative weights and so forth.
So, Bill, how does someone in the market for these services determine if the provider has the requisite SAP know-how? And how important is that skill set?
Well, I mean, I think it's important, but it varies depending on the scope of responsibility that is going to be outsourced, right? I mean, obviously, you look at a wide range of supplier types out there. People with a great deal of SAP implementation skills are offering hosting services. On the other hand, a number of providers rely on partners for some of those kinds of skills. And I'm not going to say which is right, but certainly I think it's important and incumbent upon the customer to understand just exactly what is enough for them and how that SAP capability, how much they'll need and how it's going to be applied, and make sure that they have adequate resource to it, regardless of the structure of the supply chain, as it were. Certainly in terms of verifying those credentials, however, I don't think there's any real alternative to some of the basics, right? Seeking numbers of qualified staff. Now, I know that can be easily, it can be misleading, right? It can be a difficult thing to verify. But other, approaches such as evaluating reference clients and seeking them out for discussion, whether they are supplied by the supplier or you find them out on your own, I think is a very important way to verify the credentials beyond what may appear on paper.
Bill, everybody talks about virtualization. Does the service provider's use of virtualization enter into the equation at all?
Well, it certainly can. I mean, in terms of managed hosting models, as you know, can be of different types. Historically, I think it's been true that a lot of people have envisioned, let's say, something like hosted SAP as something they'd prefer to have on a dedicated server infrastructure. Now, of course, 100% dedicated is largely a myth on the one hand, because you will be sharing potentially other elements, whether it's a SAN, whether it's network, whether it's a data center itself, with other clients. But certainly virtualization does allow the supplier to make very effective use of its infrastructure, very efficient use, and therefore can have a reasonably substantial economic impact. Now, again, this is very hard to judge in advance. There's many factors that will play into it, but certainly virtualization may provide either the ability to provide superior service in a dedicated context, right, while allowing the customer to balance its own workloads according to its needs and preferences, or allowing the customer to take advantage of a shared infrastructure platform if they're comfortable with that, which will typically be offer some economic advantages over the dedicated model.
Bill, during that answer, you used the word myth, and I'm curious. Can you tell us if there's one big myth or misperception out there about SAP managed hosting?
Well, it's interesting you say that. It's, I guess, one of the things that I think has always been true of the model since people started talking about managed enterprise applications some years back has been the idea that, only small companies are interested or mid-sized companies are interested. And I guess over the years we've seen back and forth on this, and certainly it's true that it's almost, the size is certainly significant, right? Mid-range companies, I think, by and large, are more apt to evaluate a model of this type. But, mid-sized companies vary so much in the way they operate. It can be a bit of a myth that to boil it down to that, just that. We've seen, for example, a lot of companies, units of larger enterprises and the like, and even large companies themselves look at this model as a way to not only get at some of the economic advantages you alluded to in your introduction, but also to respond to particularly challenging events, whether it be the need to move quickly to enable themselves with an SAP capability that more traditional approach will not afford, or even things like the need to establish regulatory compliance in a very rapid, short time frame. So I guess, it's almost a matter of when as it is a matter of who in many ways. And I this again and again over the years.
Bill, when someone is selecting an SAP hosting provider, should they look at it as essentially entering into a marriage? Is it a long-term commitment, or if things don't go well, is there a chance to get out of it and find another provider?
Well, I would say that certainly the marriage analogy to outsourcing is something that's been well established over the years, and I think it is important that certainly not to enter into it lightly. The good news, though, is that I think that the idea that you certainly can get managed SAP hosting services now from a number of different types of suppliers, as well as a number of different suppliers within major categories, right? Large outsourcers, telecommunications companies, managed hosting firms, and even SAP implementation houses themselves. So there is an opportunity to let's say move to another provider, as well as bring the operation back in house. And I think that when constructing service level agreements and contracts, customers should keep this in mind. For example, a lot of companies and a lot of customers stress penalties for missed SLA credits, and that's fine so far as it goes. But I think in this kind of category of service, one of the more important things to think about is, let's say if things were to go wrong for any reason, to provide freedom of movement in terms of the ability to transfer to another supplier. If your existing supplier is making the same mistakes all over and over again, if they're missing the same SLAs over and over again, and not learning from their mistakes, so that you can move to another provider and even seek transition assistance within reasonable parameters, so that you can make that switch, as opposed to focusing exclusively on monetary redress, which in all practical circumstances seldom, if ever, exceeds 10% of the monthly revenue stream.
All right, Bill, and this may call upon you to revisit some of the things you've said earlier, but looking at the market for SAP managed hosting in 2009, is there a main trend or a change you see in it, or is it fairly stable?
Well, I certainly think that there'll be more players getting more active in the marketplace. I think economic conditions will only help to heighten interest in it. I think that it's, again, new players. We see the managed hosters moving down this path fairly aggressively. People like Attenda in the UK, Terramark here in the States. And we also see, I think, a growing, if somewhat stealthy role on the part of the major Indian outsourcers that are moving down this path. Of course, they don't typically possess large networks of data centers that they own themselves. But working in collaboration with partners, such as SunGuard, for example, is a name that comes up, they can offer a managed SAP hosting services that can be quite attractive from the standpoint of overall economics as well as flexibility as an alternative to some of the more packaged offerings that came out of the old ASP world. So I think we'll see some of that moving forward, as I guess you could say perhaps an acceleration of some of the, I would characterize as gradual uptake we've seen over the years, right? As I think, the economic advantages become, again, more compelling in a very cash-constrained world.
Well, that's great, Bill. We'll continue to track this market in 2009, and we look forward to talking to you down the road and seeing how everything looks.
Thanks for your interest.
Well, thanks. We'd like to thank Bill Martorelli for sharing his insights with us today on selecting an SAP managed hosting provider. I'm your host, Peter Bochner, and thanks to all for listening.